The World Tomorrow. Herbert W. Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
Well, greetings, friends. This is Herbert W. Armstrong with the good news of the world tomorrow. And yet today's world only brings bad news. It's a troubled world that we live in, and terrific, terrifying things are just around the corner. Man is bringing some terrible things upon himself. And as Jesus Christ said 1900 years ago, just as modern scientists are saying today, world-famous scientists, that we're in a time when it's going to be possible to annihilate human life from off the planet, Earth. And as Christ said, except those days be cut short by supernatural intervention, no flesh would be saved alive. We're coming to the time, my friends, when humanity cannot endure another quarter of a century unless we have supernatural intervention. We've been going through prophecy, and I've taken the book of Jeremiah now to go through it specifically and some of its prophecies. Right now we're going through these early chapters of Jeremiah because, believe it or not, in these early chapters there's a message and a warning to the United States of America today. To our people. Here it is. It's a message for us. It's a living thing. These are dynamic words. Why do you let them remain dust-covered, hidden, neglected in your home? You have a Bible. Go get it. Open to read them to you. They're amazing. They're living. They're going to affect your living and your life. Your town, where you live, your family, your children. Now, here we are up here in the third chapter of Jeremiah. And he starts out saying, the Eternal said also unto me. You see, this comes from the very Word of God. You know, there's something in the Bible you don't find in any other book. There is one quoted in the Bible saying, I am God. There is none else, none like me, foretelling the end from the beginning. And God then proceeds to pronounce sentence on cities and nations and empires. And God foretells what's going to happen. He says that he rules the world. Where else have you ever found a book quoting anyone saying that he is God and telling what's going to happen to the greatest cities and the greatest nations on the face of the earth, and then, after hundreds and thousands of years, bringing it to pass? Some prophecies not to take place for thousands of years, even after the prophecy was written, and yet it comes to pass right on schedule. Why, no man ever wrote a book like that. This has been happening, my friends, for 2,500 years. And yet we're coming right now to the time known in the Bible as the time of the end, the time of the great climax at the close of this world. Yes, this world is coming to an end. That doesn't mean the earth's going to blow up either. And it doesn't mean that mankind is going to be removed off the earth. But we're coming to the time when our world-famous scientists tell us that it is now possible to annihilate human life from off the face of this earth. I tell you, we're living in very serious times, and we better pay attention. Now, I've been wanting to say something to you, and I don't seem to get time on the end of the program, so I'd like to say it now about the churches. Are they filling the need they're supposed to? Now, a lot of people seem to think that the churches ought to be able to repair all of this damage. I wonder how many of you noticed a newspaper story that appeared in a number of newspapers, I presume all over the United States, about the Protestant churches in the United States of America. I think it's something we all ought to hear. Let me read it to you. American Protestants go to church for amusement and are less concerned about religious doctrine than about parking facilities. Now, the unfortunate thing about it, my friends, is that in a great many instances, this is a true accusation. Protestantism, continues this article, Protestantism is more and more losing its religious character. Will Protestant union be possible? The majority do not hope for it, nor want it, nor believe it's realizable. The magazine said, doctrinal questions once divided the Protestants, but not today. Now, let me intervene here again and just say that the reason we have so many Protestant denominations, originally they were founded because of differences of belief. But that difference in belief is fading, and I have another magazine article here to give you a little further proof on that. I want to give you a little of it. Now, to continue this story, the average Protestants, it said, are people who look on Sunday for a little amusement or prayer and believe both in God and the usefulness of all doctrinal and ritual questions, who choose their churches on the basis of the personality of the pastor, the politeness of the usher, the ease of parking the car. Now, you know that is true in too many cases. I won't say that's true in every case, of course, but this is hitting a lot of people. Now, I have a magazine here with an article, "Do You Really Know Your Religion?" I want to read you just a few little excerpts, which the subhead is, "A national poll turns up some startling answers about the different denominations which should make you think." Now, here are a few excerpts from it. They quote here from a poll made in a score of United States cities. The following quotations are typical. Now, here are some of them, showing what people think about religion. Now, this is not just Protestants. I see you have one Catholic included here. This is including all religions, apparently. "Religion is not a question of any denomination," says one. "It is a question of moral law, which is infinitely greater than all denominations." That's coming from a Methodist. Now, a Catholic says this, "I believe every person will be saved, not only Catholic, provided he believes in his heart and lives decently, keeping the laws of God." I doubt very much whether that particular Catholic priest taught that person to say that. I haven't asked a Catholic priest those particular questions, but I doubt whether a Catholic priest would subscribe to that. Anyway, that was a member of the Catholic Church. Now, here's an Episcopalian who says, "It is not important to be an Episcopalian. It is very important to be a member of a church, any church." Now, a Jew said this, "All that matters is to love, obey, and worship the one God." But it doesn't make any difference which denomination. Now, a Baptist said this, "Christ is the answer to all our problems, denomination the answer to nothing." And a Presbyterian said, "Better if we forget denomination entirely and strive toward the teachings of Jesus." You know, it reminds me of what one man said one time, that there are many roads, they all lead to the same place. Now, you hear that argument quite often, and it's quite common. We may have different roads of getting there, but they're all trying to get to the same place. And it doesn't make any difference which road you take. Now, this man happened to live in Portland, Oregon, and he told me that he frequently took trips to Southern California, and he told me many years ago that there were many roads to take to California. Sometimes he would go by train, sometimes he'd drive his own car, and sometimes he would go by bus, and sometimes he would even take a ship off the from Portland on out through Astoria and into the Pacific Ocean and on down, and then, of course, sometimes he would fly. Everybody said he always got to the same destination, regardless of which road he took. Now, the only trouble with that argument, my friends, is there are many doors and many ways and many roads that religions are trying to take. That's true. And they're all going to one destination, but it isn't the destination that they expect. They're not going to the destination they think. All of those roads are leading to the wrong destination. There's only one road that leads to the destination they think they're going to arrive at. There is only one way into the kingdom of God, and it's about time some of us begin to wake up and find it. You find different churches, and they did start out, all the different denominations, each having its own ideas and its own doctrines and its differing beliefs. Well, they can't all be true. There's only one right way. There's only one right church, too. Have you found it? Now, continuing here, vague beliefs in this article. Apparently, the people, the congregation, the members, do not regard denomination as so important. And they don't today, like they once did. 50 or 60 years ago, I think the members knew more about what their particular denomination believed. Today, they don't. Now, look at this. One would expect members of a religious body to base their membership upon some religious reason, some theological specialty of that body. But the survey failed to confirm this. It indicated that most persons do not even know and could not name on request any religious belief peculiar to their church. Now think of that. Asked why they attend the church of their choice, people responded. This includes most all of the churches. And here are what they said in this survey in many, many different cities. 62% said because of its particular beliefs, but they didn't know what those cities were. 53%, over half, said because I grew up in that church. Think of it, over half of the people in America, and that's of all religions and all denominations, Catholic, Jewish, all the Protestants, all of them, 53% in this survey said they're in the church they are and a member of it because they grew up in it. Listen, is salvation a matter of flesh birth or is it a matter of spiritual rebirth? Is it generation or is it regeneration? You better read your Bible and find out. Some of you are on pretty dangerous ground. You know what God Almighty said to the people back there of ancient Israel? They departed from him and his ways. Let me read you just a little of it here in the 20th chapter of Ezekiel. He said here, nevertheless, mine eyes spared them from destroying them, neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness, but I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Eternal, your God. Walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and hallow my Sabbath. And they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Eternal, your God. People don't know the Lord. They don't know the true Savior. They don't know him. Many of them talk about it, but they don't. Notwithstanding the children rebelled against me, they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them. They polluted my Sabbath, and then I said I'd pour out my fury upon them, and so on. And finally, he said, verse 23, Ezekiel 20, I lifted up mine hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen, and disperse them among the countries, because they had not executed my judgment, but had polluted my Sabbath, and their eyes were after their fathers' idols. Because their fathers' religion was good enough for them. My friend, that's why God punished ancient Israel with a punishment greater than God Almighty has ever meted out on any nation or any people in the history of this world. Because their fathers' religion was good enough for them. You better find out what is God's religion. 53%. Belong to the church they do because I grew up in it. Because it was my parents' religion. Now 50% and even half said, because my parents were so. Well, that's practically the same thing, just worded a different way. 19%, that's about 1 out of 5, because my friends go there for social reasons. For social reasons. Well, there's one destination where those things are going to lead you. And that's the kind of hellfire that a lot of people don't understand. That it's a little hotter than the hell that's commonly believed in, my friend. It's just a little bit hotter than the kind most people believe in. 18%, that's also pretty close to 1 out of 5, because it's right nearby. It was just convenient and handy. Well, you know, today we buy labor-saving devices, anything to save steps. So they want to save steps when it comes to going to church. They don't want to walk very far. A little bit farther walk, maybe, might be a better thing. If some church a little farther along had the truth and the one you're going to nearby doesn't, you better check into it. 15%, because I like the minister, following a man. 12%, because of its Sunday school facility. Not the Sunday school, but the mechanical facilities that they have. 6%, to please my husband or my wife. 5%, because no other church is near. Well, there again, they don't want to walk too far. And 4%, well, I like the building. And the building is the church to a lot of people. But ask to name one or two of the religious beliefs for which they said they preferred their church. Remember, 62% said that. And ask to name only one or two of the religious beliefs for which they said they preferred their church. They answered the questions with the broadest generality, such as, well, faith or salvation or something. They didn't really know what their church did believe after all. Pressed for a specific answer, they did not even know just what their own church stood for in point of specific tenets and doctrine. Members of only 4 denominations gave definite answers to this.
I could have named the four. I wouldn't need to look into this to find out. So far as the prominent religious bodies are concerned, here are the four. Well, guess just a minute before I give them to you and see if you notice. All right, they are the Catholics, the Jews, the Christian Scientists, and the Seventh-day Adventists. I could have told you that without reading it here and getting it as a result of the survey. Well, there you are. What a commentary, my friends, on religion in the United States of America. No wonder that God Almighty says in these prophecies that we're going through that we make mention of Him in our prayers. We have a form of godliness. We make mention in our prayers of God, but we never put our heart into our prayers. We're not really concerned. We don't have time for God. We say, well, I just haven't got time. I'm too busy with other things. You're too busy going the wrong road, my friends, and it's about time to wake up. God has given you so many hours every day, so many minutes in every hour, and so many seconds in that minute. And He's given you so many days and years to live, and that's all. Some of you are going to be cut off pretty soon. Your life isn't going to last much longer. But you know, people in one way have no faith in God whatsoever, specifically. But in a rather general manner, people have a lot of faith in God. They have too much. Now, but you believe people can have too much faith in God? Well, in one way they do. Listen, people think, well, here's the kind of faith they've got in God. I have faith that God just wouldn't be God, and He wouldn't be really honest and right if He would ever harm me for what I've done. Well, I think that I'll be all right. God's just going to chunk me right up into heaven when the time comes. I don't think I need to worry because God is so merciful and so good. Why, it wouldn't be fair if God would punish me. Listen, my friends, don't kid yourself. Your Bible, which is the very Word of God, and God Himself says that God is not mocked. He's going to render unto you according to your work. Some of you had better wake up. You're on mighty dangerous ground, and you haven't got too long to live, some of you, and you're wasting your life, and your life was given to you for a purpose. You know why you were put here on this earth? You know that humanity was put here for a purpose, and that the human race has lost that purpose, and they don't even seem to know what it is anymore. It's about time that some of us begin to wake up. Just about time. Well, I'm glad that some people know what they stand for. Let me tell you, my friends, you listen to this program very long, and you'll know what we stand for. Because we stand for just what God has given us in His own inspired Word. And you'll know what the Bible says if you listen to this program very long. Those listeners that listen to this program daily and are hearing 365 of these broadcasts a year are getting a pretty good knowledge of the Bible, and you can get a better one if you want it. If you want a Bible correspondence course that is the best Bible correspondence course that has ever been written, it's not denominational. It's just according to the Word of God, not these denominations, one believing one thing and another, and some to another one, something else altogether. You know, the Apostle Paul came along. There were all kinds of denominations back in those days. He came to Berea. They knew there were lots of different denominations. They thought, well, what one does Paul belong to? Well, he didn't belong to any of them. He was just a minister of Jesus Christ sent out with a gospel that God sent to this world by Christ. Well, they wondered if it was true. So they banished prejudice from their minds. They listened to him, but they were a little bit skeptical. And yet they weren't prejudiced. They searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They listened to Paul, but they didn't just swallow everything he said. Neither did they throw it all out saying, well, he's not of my denomination. They listened, and they searched and researched in the scriptures. They were interested to know whether it was true. Now, the final court of appeal, my friends, the final authority is your Bible. And you can search it there. But you listen to this broadcast and open up your Bible as you go through, and you'll soon know what your Bible says. You take this Ambassador College Bible Correspondence course, provided you want to spend not less than a half hour every day, 7 days a week. That's a minimum of 3.5 hours a week. You ought to spend at least 2 or 3 hours a day on it. And many people do, by the way, and it's the most enjoyable 2 or 3 hours of the whole day. And they're finding it very profitable and mighty interesting, very important. Why don't you write in for it? I haven't mentioned it lately. About time some of you knew what life is all about and what lies on ahead. What about your eternity? Some of you were so concerned about some unimportant, totally unimportant little details that are before your eyes every day. You're wasting your time on those things and neglecting the real important things of your life. the reason that you were put here on this earth in the first place. Well, it's mighty important. Well, here's a man who is beginning to learn what it's all about. This is a minister of a church in Detroit, Michigan. You know, this broadcast is heard on one of the important radio stations in Detroit. And this man wrote, "Dear Brother Armstrong, I'm writing you this note to thank you for the wonderful literature, The Plain Truth About Christians," and so on. And, well, he gets the Plain Truth magazine and all of that. And he says, "Now, for your encouragement in this great work of worldwide gospel, I want to say that the little booklet you sent to me entitled, What is Faith, has opened the minds of some of the members of my church. Also, your radio broadcasts have stirred up a lot of people in this city." That's in Detroit, Michigan. Now, here's a minister that is actually using the material that he gets off of this broadcast and the booklet that we send out to help open the minds of his congregation. There's a minister that is starting out on the right track. And God will bless and prosper him as long as he stays on that right track, too. Well, now we were in the third chapter of Jeremiah. I want to get back to this prophecy a little bit. Let's see what God says about world conditions and what's going to happen to the United States. Because here in Jeremiah, as well as in other prophecies, he tells what's going to happen in your town where you live in the next 5, 10, 20, 25 years. In fact, most of it less than 25. Most of it within 15 years from now. There isn't much more time. It's a lot later than you think. Now, we've seen here, as we were going into in the preceding program, in this daily series, now, in the 6th verse of Jeremiah 3, the Eternal has said to Jeremiah, "Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up upon every high mountain under every green tree, and there has played the harlot." Now, these high places are high mountains, and this worship behind the trees and all that sort of thing was the pagan idolatry of the time of the neighboring nations back there around Palestine. "And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it also." So I've been bringing out, my friends, that Israel and Judah are two different nations altogether. The 12 tribes of Israel were divided into two nations. The nation Israel had already been driven out into a national slavery and captivity, captured by Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, over 130 years before Jeremiah wrote this. And now the Jews are about to be invaded and taken captive, and Jeremiah is sort of a mediator here between the kings of Israel, the last three kings, or the kings of Judah, I should say, the last three kings of Judah, and King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. And so he mentions here the difference between Israel and Judah. Her treacherous sister Judah saw it, a different nation. That's the Jewish people. But Israel was not Jewish. They were never called Jews. The first place the word Jews is used in your Bible is 2 Kings, the 16th chapter and the 6th verse, where the Jews were at war against Israel, and Israel, allied with King Pekah of Syria, was at war against the Jews. And they drove the Jews out of a certain town, Elath, there, as you find in that place. Now, you need our booklet, United States in Prophecy, to show you where we're identified, and if you'll search it like the Bereans listened to Paul and check it with your Bible, you will see that it's true, that we are identified as the so-called lost 10 tribes of Israel. And what he says about Israel for the future is for the United States and the British Commonwealth of Nations. He's speaking of us. Listen, oh, that sounds strange. I know. I know many people ridicule the truth because they can't answer it. And they don't want to, and their hearts are not open to receive it. And their minds are closed. But if your mind is open and if you'll examine it, of course, you'll be shocked just as I was when I first looked into it about 50 years ago. But if you'll study into it with an open mind, you will find that the astonishing truth is truth. Now, God says, "I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, and I put her away," because he'd been married to Israel, and now he put her away. That marriage made Israel God's nation on this earth. He was the ruler, as a wife should be obedient to her husband, as a wife should be. I wonder if some of you saw on a television program, two people had to go to the blackboard, a man and a wife, and neither one could see what the other was writing to see whether they could truthfully answer a question.
Who wears the pants in your family? Both of them wrote, the wife. Whatever respect I might have had for that man, I lost that second. That's true in too many homes today. That's unnatural. God Almighty never meant it that way. Don't we have men today? Every woman wants to be dominated by her husband. She won't admit it. She doesn't want to be dominated, that's true, but she does want to be dominated by a loving and a kind husband and a considerate one. God made her to need it and to want it. It's unnatural. I know a lot of women think they don't. They try to wear the pants. Well, yet her treacherous sister Judah has not turned unto me with her whole heart. And so he said that Judah had become worse than Israel. And then in verse 14, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Eternal, for I am married unto you, and I will. Now he gets into the future. Listen, we had to be cut off here in the preceding program. Not going to get much further now, but let's get this. First he said, only acknowledge your iniquity, that you transgressed against the Lord your God, and so on, and then that he would forgive them. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Eternal, for I am married unto you. And now he gets into the future, the good news of the world tomorrow. I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you unto Zion. That is the church and Jerusalem. I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. You see, there is some knowledge and understanding to true salvation and Christianity. And it shall come to pass, when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Eternal, they shall no more say, the ark of the covenant of the Eternal. That was in the days of Moses, the ark they had then. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Eternal, and all nations shall be gathered unto it. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil hearts. That's when Christ will be here as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given them for an inheritance to their fathers. That's speaking of the world tomorrow, when Christ will be here and Jerusalem will be the capital of the world, and we'll have peace at last. In our world of wars and rumors of wars, governmental corruption and family strife, the piercing words of your Bible ring true. The way of peace they know not. Our worldwide problems seem impossible to solve. It seems almost too much to hope for solutions. Yet solutions to all of our problems have been promised. How? By whom? When? All of these questions are answered in a timely booklet entitled, The Wonderful World Tomorrow. What it will be like. Renowned statesmen and scientists have predicted the end of the world unless man changes his ways. Man's ways are predicted to change drastically. Write for this free booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like, and see how a prophesied new age will be ushered in, not because of man, but in spite of him. Read of the reality of the soon coming Wonderful World Tomorrow. Heard The World Tomorrow with Herbert W. Armstrong, sponsored by the World Watch.